Samach Hayam at Aleph. 8 lines down. First word of the line is Abaye. I circled Abaye and put a number 1 in the margin. 5-6 lines below that, it says Va'amar Abaye. I circled Abaye and put a number 2 in the margin. And about 6 lines below that, first word on the line is Hu. I put a number 3 in the margin. We're going to have 3 cases. Here's the first. Amar Abaye. Haiman de Masik Zuzi de Rabisa Bechavre. If you have a guy, let's say me, I'll use myself even though I'm constantly turning myself into the Avaryan. I hold a claim of Zuzim de Rabisa Bechavre. Basically, I had made an agreement with somebody, I was going to charge him interest, and he still owes me the interest, that person. Vika'azli Chiti Arba Grivi Bezuza Beshuka. And the going rate currently for wheat is 4 measures for a zuz. So he owes me a zuz. Let's say a zuz is $10. And the going rate for $10, you get 4 measures of wheat. And he gives me, I guess instead of the interest payment in lieu of it, 5 measures of wheat. Now, we had said earlier that the rabbinical authorities will get involved to seize away ribbons that had been collected from the one who collected it. And therefore, when I get that seized away from me, is it the wheat I get seized away? Well, apparently, arba mafkina mine, 4 measures of wheat, which is the equivalent of what the ribbis would have been, is get seized from me. Idach, the fifth, oizuli hu deka maizogabe, is viewed merely as sort of a discount that the borrower gave to me, the lender. That's what Abaye says. Rava, who I circled, Amar says differently. Oh no, chamisha mefkina mine, the rabbinical authorities will seize away all 5 measures of wheat, demi'ikara, because initially when they were paid back, the 5 of them, betiris ribisa sayliyada, even though it was worth more than the ribis owed, it was paid as a lump sum of 5 units, and therefore the entire 5 units get seized away. Period. Here's a second case. V'amar Abaye, circled Abaye. Haiman de Masik, Arba zuzis rabisa be chavre. So let's say I have a claim of 4 zuz of interest that's owed to me by Bob. V'yohiv le glima begavayu. And Bob instead gives me his jacket, and I'm fine with that. You know what? I'll take that in lieu of the interest. Well, when the rabbinical authorities get involved to seize that jacket away from me, ki mafkina mine, arba mafkina mine. They don't even take the jacket. They just take whatever the cash value of the interest that was supposed to be paid was, that's what they'll seize away from me. Glima, but the jacket, lo mafkina mine. The jacket you almost look at is that's like a different deal. Since it was paid, though, in lieu of the interest, whatever the interest that was owed was, that's what they seize away from me. Rava, who I circled, Amar, no, the jacket was given to me in lieu of the interest, therefore, glima mafkina mine, they will seize away the jacket, my taima, what's the reason? Ki heichi delay limru, so that the typical person in my neighborhood won't say, huh, look at Horowitz, wearing that glima de michsi vekai glima de rabisahu, that jacket that he's wearing, that's the jacket that he collected for interest, so we really don't want that, and therefore they'll actually seize away the jacket. Period. And here's the third case. Amar Rava, and underline Rava's name, Haiman de Masik, Tresar Zuzi de Rabisa Bechavre. So let's say I have a claim of 12 zuz of ribis against my friend. Let's call it, I gave my friend a big loan. I loaned him, I don't know, $500,000, and I said that he would have to pay me interest of $12,000. So I have a claim of $12,000 for ribis against him. He owes me $12,000 for the interest. The agar le chotzer, and there's going to be a rental agreement of chotzer is a courtyard. Let's just say an apartment. De miskara be'asara. Let's say there is a apartment that for the year would rent for $10,000. The agar niale be tracer, and he rents it to him for $12,000. Okay, so I'm supposed to get $12,000 in interest. It's really illegal, but he rents to me a apartment that would normally rent for $10,000 for $12,000. That's what I'm getting. It's like it's all gain. It's illicit gain. It's usher gain, but it's all gain. I say, you know what? Yeah, I'll take that apartment that would normally rent for $10,000. I'll have it in lieu of the $12,000 you owe me in the interest. Now, we know the rabbinical authorities will get involved, and they'll seize something away from me, ki mafkinan mine, when they seize away from me, because that was that deal was as an interest payment, tracer mafkinamine. They're not interested in the apartment. They're actually going to seize away 12,000 from me. Because, true, he gave me something else, but he gave me that in lieu of the 12,000. Period. Amalei Ravachami Difti le Ravina. So Ravachami Difti, commenting on this case, says to Ravina, well, 1 second. Velema lay, let the malva, the lender, say, well, 1 second. I was willing to take the guy's place in lieu of the 12,000 because he owed me 10,000 in interest. But now that I had to pay the entire interest, in other words, I already paid the 12,000, ki agra hachi, when I made the original arrangement, dahave ka mishtarshili, it was basically very profitable to me. It was all profit. It was basically all interest. However, now that I had to pay up the 12, hashta delay mishtarshili, now that it's not really worth to me, since I'm basically forced to reimburse for the entire amount of the interest, kida agri kuli alma hu de agarna. Listen, I'm willing to take this place still, but I ain't going to pay 12,000 for it. I'm only going to pay 10. Literally, like most people would rent this place for, that's what I'm really going to rent it for. Is he entitled to a, instead of paying, owing 12,000, he could pay 10,000? Well, no, he can't. Mishum da amarle, because the lova can say back, I ain't going to take any less than 12. Savris vikablis. You agreed to it, you considered it, you thought about it, and you accepted it, and got to follow through. Says the Mishnah, marbin al haschar ve'ein marbin al ha-mecher. If I am renting something to you, I can have a sort of arrangement where if you're going to pay later, you'll pay more than if you pay now. Whereas if I'm selling something to you, I cannot have an arrangement where you're going to pay later and pay more. So, Ketzad, how so? How would this play out? Hiskir, underline Hiskir. Let's say I am renting, Eschatzeroy, I'm renting out my courtyard to somebody, Va'amarloy, and I say to him, all right, Bob, you're going to be renting my courtyard for a certain period of time. If you want to pay it all up front, let's say rental for the year, I'll give it to you for 10 sela for the year. Pay me the 10 sela, you got the place for a year. If you want to pay month by month, sela l'chodesh, and it's a sela a year, which comes out to 12 sela, that's actually mutter, that is permissible, and we'll see why in the Gemara. Mecher, as opposed to a sale, I underline the word machar. Machar lo yasadeh. Let's say I'm selling Bob a field. Ve'amar lo, and I say to Bob, listen, Bob, ima achshav atano yisinli, if you pay for the field right now, harehu shalcha be'elef zuz, 1,000 zuz, pay me right now, it's yours. Im legayrin, if you want to wait, you'll take the field now, you'll wait to pay me until the harvest season, where you could sort of sell the produce of the field. Bishnei masarmana, if it's 1,000 now, you have to pay 1,200 in whenever the season is, whenever you're able to sell the produce of that field. Could be 3 months, could be 6 months. That would be usur, because that's in the context of a sale. Pay now, pay 1,000, pay later, pay 1,200, that's usur. Okay, they seem quite similar. So the Gemara asks, Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa. What's the distinction that we make that in, if you're renting it in the Reisha, it's permissible, but if you're selling something in the Seif of the Mishnah, it's usur? Well, Rabba Rav Yosef Damitravayu, they explain, colon. We're going to now see the difference between schirus, I underline schirus, and 2, 4, 6 lines later, first word line is gabe, I underlined seifa, the later part, which is talking about a sale. So here we go. Schirus, when it comes to a rental, the basic understanding of a rental is you pay at the end, not at the beginning. And therefore, schirus, since ena mishtalem es ela b'soif, it's only owed at the end. V'hai, in this scenario that we presented in the Mishnah, kevan delemata zmane lemigva, since at the beginning of the rental agreement, that's not the time to pay yet, we don't view it as he has to pay more if he pays later. We'd rather view it as he gets a discount if he's paying up front. Lav agar natar le, the additional amount that he's paying, if he pays at the end, is not considered interest. Mishva hu dahachishavya. Rather, it's viewed as that's what it's actually worth. So how come if he's prepaying, he's paying less? V'hai deka amar le, and that which the person said to him, the one who wants to rent his chotzer, he said, here's a quote from the Mishnah, line and a half, I put right angles in. Listen, if you want to pay the whole rental up front, the beginning of the year, it's yours for Eser Slime Lashana. You don't have to pay a total of 12 sela by the end of the year. You'd have to pay me up front, but only 10 sela. That's viewed as Ozulihu Dekam Ozugabe. It's simply a discount for prepaying, and that's totally fine. There's no problem with giving somebody a discount for prepaying. Seifa, which I underlined, however, in the case of a sale, the standard understanding of a sale is you got to pay up front. You got to pay for it. You're getting it. It's not like it's not yours, you're just renting it. You're getting it, therefore you're supposed to pay up front. Kevin is vini ninu, since it's a sale, uboyla mishkal dami ma'akshav. And the way a sale usually works is at the time the sale takes place, the person pays for it. Hilkach, therefore, if at the time the sale takes place it's one price and it's a greater price at some point in the future, that some point in the future, agar natrale is viewed as interest to, the asrun would be forbidden. Period. Amar Rava, daku ba rabbanan. The rabbis sort of searched for Baha Milsa, looking for a source that when it comes to renting something, the rental fee is really only due at the end of each period. And they actually found a pasuk for ukmu akra, and they were able to rely or support that concept on this pasuk vayikra chaf hey pasuk nun gimel, and the pasuk says kesachir shana bi shana. I could have just said kesachir shana, like you know, for a year, but it said shana bi shana. I squiggled around the bi shana. The bi shana is extra, which is essentially coming to at least hint to you that schir shel shana zu, the rental fee for this year, when is it due? It's only paid at the beginning of the next year, meaning like at the end of this year, which is at least a hint to the concept that rent is due at the end of each rental period, whether those rental periods are week or month or year. We had said in the Mishnah that if somebody was selling another person the field and he said, listen, if you pay me now, it's 1,000 zuz. If you pay me in 6 months after you've had a harvest, it's 1,200 zuz. That was usur. And here is the quote from the Mishnah. V'im l'gairin, if you pay me once you had the harvesting season, literally the threshing of the grain, b'shnei masar mana, that would be usur. Amar Rav Nachman, I circled Rav Nachman. Two lines later, a little bit later in the line, I circled Rav Papa. And four lines below that, a little bit earlier in the line, I circled Rav Chama. We're going to have three Amayuraim, Rav Nachman, Rav Papa, and Rav Chama, Rabbi Chama, who are all going to explain that Tarsha is okay. The first one, Rav Nachman, says Tarsha is permissible. Skip down to lines, Rav Papa says Tarsha Didi, my type of Tarsha, is permissible. And Rav Chama, one line from the bottom, says Tarsha Didi Vadai Shari, for sure my Tarsha is permissible. What is Tarsha? So Rashi says, let's go into the Rashis. If you skip up about 15, slide over to the Rashi, go up about 15 lines. In the middle of the line, there's a Dibur Maskil, Tarsha Shari. So what's Tarsha? Limkor Schaira, to sell merchandise, Behamtana, to wait to be paid, B'yosef Edamea. So you have merchandise, you're not going to get paid now, you sell it, and you wait to be paid, and you're going to take more. The main thing here is that you don't speak out as part of the agreement. It's like if you're paying now, you get it for less. Ella, you just sell it. So I'm selling you this item, and you'll pay me in 6 months, and you'll pay me $500. And as long as I don't mention that if he paid right now, it'd be $400, that is permissible. Okay, at least that's what Rav Nachman says. Let's go back into the Gemara. Amar Rav Nachman, Tarsha Shari. Really? Says the Gemara, Eisvei Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama questions Rav Nachman. But Amrilar, those who say it was Rav Ukva Bar Chama, questions Rav Nachman from our Mishnah. Here's a quote from our Mishnah. It goes to the first word on the next line. V'im legoyren mishnei masar mana aser. And the Mishnah said, well, and if you pay me once the field has produced, it would be 1,200 instead of, it would be 1,200 instead of 1,000. That would be forbidden. So that sounds as is aser. Amar Lei says back Rav Nachman to whoever was a questioned him, was a big difference. Hasam, look at the Mishnah, Katz Lei. That's where he said specifically, if you pay me now, it's 1,000. If you pay me, you know, 6 months, then it's 1,200. So since he spoke it out, that he agrees with us. Or Hacha, Rav Nachman insists, though, that he was talking about, like Rashi explained, is lo katzla. He didn't mention anything about the price now. He just said he's selling him the item. He'll pay in 6 months, and that's the price, and that would be allowed, at least according to Rav Nachman. Amar Rav Papa. We had circled Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, Tarsha DD Shari. My Tarsha is permissible. We know Rav Papa used to be a beer producer. He would sell his beer. He would often sell it during the cheap season. There were different seasons in beer. Let's say in September, he would sell it, charging people the April price, which is much more expensive, but they don't have to pay it until April. Okay. And he says it's permissible. My time, what's the reason, explains Rav Papa. Shichra Eloi Pasi. He says, my beer is good. It doesn't get lost. If you have it now, it's good. If you have it in 6 months, it's good. It won't get ruined. Zuzi Loi Tzrichnem. Also, says Rav Papa, very wealthy man. I don't need the money. Ana Hu Deka Avidna Milsa. It's actually me who's doing an issue, or it will say maybe a favor, Gavi Lekech, for the purchaser, that he can wait to pay me. And he'll pay me whatever the price would be at the time he pays me, period. Amar Lei, I underline, Rav Sheshesh Breid Rav Edi. So Rav Sheshesh Breid Rav Edi says to Rav Papa, well, that's wonderful looking at it from your perspective, Mr. Rav Papa. However, my chazimar, why do you see fit, O sir, to ka'azlis basar didach? Right, from your perspective, it's not interest, but there's somebody who's paying. And if he paid now, he'd pay less. And if he pays later, he's paying more. From his perspective, why is he not paying now? He doesn't have the money. Zil Basar Did Hu. Why don't you look at it from the perspective of the purchasers of your beer? Di'ilu Havalu Zuzi. If they had cash money to pay now, Havi Shakli Kashta. They would pay now and get the cheaper current Tishrei price. Current September price. Hashta Deles Luzuzi. Why are they not doing that? Because they don't have the cash now. Shakli Kiyukra Delekame. They're willing to take it, even though they'll be paying more in 6 months' time. Kama. Rav Chama. Rav Chama is the third one here we had circled. He says, Tarsha di di vadai shari. My Tarsha is for sure allowed. Let's see what Rav Chama's Tarsha is. We'll slide across into the Rashi, about six lines up. Says Rashi. We're going to read this last eight-line Rashi inside. I'm Rav Chama, Tarsha Didi Vadai Shari. For sure, my Tarsha is permissible. What was Rav Chama? He was a Meicher Pragmatia Haye. He sold stuff, merchandise. Meicher B'Makom Hazol, he would sell it in a place that it was less expensive, but he would charge the people purchasing it, Kishar Shuhu Nimgar B'Makom Hayoyker, the higher price that it sells for in the more expensive place. Umamtin lahen, and he would wait. He wouldn't take payment right away. Vehein malin oisoy lemakom layoker. Those people would go to the place that it's more expensive and sell it there for the more expensive price. Vehu mekabel avachrayis derech behalicha. And he, Rav Chama, took all responsibility as this merchandise was transported to this other more expensive place. Valakuchais, now the purchasers, what are they gaining from this? Mistakrim bipagmatria shaloichim sham. So they would get a cash payment for this thing, and then they would buy a whole bunch of merchandise in that place over there, bima'oisav, with the money that they got from the sale. Umevin lekan, and they would bring it here, the merchandise, and then sell it for also a bit of a profit. Vachrayis hachazor aleihem. And the responsibility of what happens to the stuff they're bringing back is totally on them. Since they didn't accept upon themselves the achrayis, on the way there, lo havya malvagabai, it wasn't considered a loan by them ad until shag pramatia nimkeres, until the stuff was sold in the more expensive place, vehem lekaben amois. So he gave it to them here. Here it would sell for $800. They took it there. They sold it for $1,000. When they get back, they're going to give him the $1,000. The oisan hamois nasin aleh malvag, it basically became a loan at the time they sold it. So they sold it. It became a loan for $1,000. Ve'en kan ribis, there's no ribis because they basically sold it for $1,000. They're giving it back $1,000. And the benefit to them is that $1,000 in cash, they could buy stuff and sell it locally for $1,200. Perfect. Let's go back into the Gemara. Says Rav Chama, Tarsha didi vadai shari. My time, what's the reason? Nicha lehu. It's actually desirable to the middlemen that we just discussed, to leku b'rishusi, that it should stay in my rishus, that merchandise, until they get it to the place they're going to sell it. Here's another reason, says the Gemara, dechol hecha dekaazli, wherever they go to try to sell it, since it's still my stuff, says Rav Chama, shavki lehu michsa unakalu shuka. Two great benefits. Number one, items which are owned by a Talmud Chacham at certain times and places were actually exempted from having to pay any tax. So they wouldn't have to pay tax on it. And also, Nekait Lehu Shuk, they'd make an announcement, all right, nobody's allowed to sell this particular item because there's Rav Chama's got that item. And both of those are huge benefits. The Gemara concludes with three Hilchasas, and with this we'll conclude Amud Aleph. I marked each Hilchasa with the Hilchasa marking. First of all, Hilchasa Kirav Chama. That was the third of the three approaches that we just saw, as far as Tarsha. So the halacha is like that. The halacha is like Rebbe Elazar. Rebbe Elazar was the one who had said a few daf ago that Ribbis Kitsutsa, the rabbinical authorities, will actually get involved and seize it away from a lender who collected it. And the third Hilchasa, Hilchasa Kirav Yanai. What did Rav Yanai say back a few daf ago? Mali Hain, Mali Demehin. That in certain transactions, it doesn't make a difference if you give the produce itself, which is worth more. We had the wheat that was bought for 100, and by the time it's given, it's worth 120. So you could give the wheat, paid 100 for it now, give the wheat that's worth 120 in a month later. Mali Hain, Umali Demehin, and he could even pay 120 in cash. Adkan.